Our topic today. Get this question a lot. Every bit is on it. But going to this hotel with my family, and they have electronic key cards. What do I do on Shabbos? How do we get into the room? What are the solutions? So to understand this topic, to answer this question, we're going to do a quick review of benefiting from a malacha of a non-Jew on Shabbos. We're going to do a review of the halachos of Amira Lenachri, asking a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. And when we combine those, are they allowed in the case of a mitzvah and a tzorech, etc., we can answer our question. So, what is the source for not benefiting or not having a non-Jew do malacha for you, asking him to do malacha for you on Shabbos? So let's start with Amira Lenachri. Source 1, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tukhav Aleph, tells us, Nachri Shabbal Chabot, there's a fire, Ein Omrim Lo Chabeh, Ve'al Techabeh, Mipnei She'en Shvitato Alehem, you cannot tell him to put out the fire or not to put out the fire. You don't tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Now, before we even continue this discussion, because we can't mention fire, Mishnah Berurah has a very interesting statement regarding fires and Shabbos. When it comes to fires, we don't put out fires. That's only where there's no chance of hurting anyone. Okay, that's where it's a fire in the middle of nowhere, meaningless little fire. If there's ever even a chance of hurting anyone, then we put out fires. Okay, if it's possible, if it's a slow fire, then you have a non-Jew, maybe. But if there's a chance of hurting anyone, we put out fires. If it's definitely going to hurt somebody, Jews put out fires. And the Mishnah Berurah says that rabbis have a responsibility. If a person even hesitates when there's a fire to put it out and somebody gets hurt because of that, it's the fault of the rabbi. So he says, rabbis have a responsibility to be mefarsein when there's a fire and there's any... Oh, so, lemaisa, if there's a fire in anyone's home and your home is near anyone else's home in the whole world, so you don't live like in the middle of nowhere where you're the only house for miles. Okay, if there's any adjacent houses to your house, that means that there could be a sleeping child, sleeping old person, sleeping person who could get hurt. We put out fires. Make sure to put out the fire. It's sakanas nefeshos. And therefore, since the responsibility of rabbis to be mefarsin this, to spread this. She's right over here. So, I only brought that up as a tangent because we mentioned putting out a fire on Shabbos, but that halacha of not telling a non-Jew to put out this fire on Shabbos is the source for the halacha of Amir Lenachri, of not telling a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Meaning, the source comes from the, we're going to see in a second. What kind of iser is this? Not telling a non-Jew to do malacha. So the Gemara in Shabbos, source 2, tells us, Amira Lenachri, Shvut. Shvut means, it's an iser derabbanan. It is not an iser d'oraita. Iser d'oraita is, the Torah told you not to do malacha on Shabbos. Iser derabbanan, it is exero. For you, meaning I'm not doing the malacha, let me have a non-Jew do the malacha for me. That is Asur Midrabbanim. Why is it Asur Midrabbanim? For that we have two answers of Rashi. Source 3, Rashi Nabot and Rezar Adav Ten Vav tells us, regarding third item, it says, Ve'ina shel Yisrael mishum lifnei iver lo titin mishu lo ka'avar d'bnei noach lon etzav al ha-shvita. It's not if neiver when you have the non-Jew because he's not commanded to rest on Shabbos. Ma sha'asur liyisrael omar lo'ovi kochave maseli kach. Why can't you tell a non-Jew on Shabbos do X or Y for me? Mishum mimtso chatzacha v'daber davar. Dibor asur. We said, we've seen this pasuk a few times, right? When we discuss Halchon Muksa, we've seen it a few times in various things of Shabbos. We don't walk and talk and act on Shabbos the same way that we do during the week. The things we do during the week, Shabbos has to be different. So therefore, we don't talk about malacha on Shabbos. So since I can't mention this activity. I also, therefore, can't ask a non-Jew to do this activity I can't mention. If I can't mention it, I can't ask him to do it for me. Okay, we're going to see that that's going to be a nuance. That's where the whole idea of hinting comes in. We're going to discuss that in a minute. But if I can't mention an activity, I can't ask him to do it for me. That's one option. Source 4, Rashi, also on Shabbos, tells us, Barehu shlucho lisan b'shabbat. When you ask the non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos, he is doing it as your shaliach. We have a rule, shlucho shel adon kavoto. When your agent acts on your behalf, it is like you did it. So, we have two reasons here. One is that I can't mention the iser, and one is that it is like I am doing the action myself. Can anybody come up with a nafkamina between these two things? If one is an iser to not mention malach on Shabbos, and one is the person acting on your behalf, it's like you did it. What would be a nafkamina between these two? What?
A hint?
A hint? Okay, well, you don't mention it. That may be. We'll see in a minute. Somebody else raise their hands?
Well, if you don't tell them to, they just do something.
They just do it? Okay. If he's doing it before you, can a person be doing something for me if I didn't tell him to do it?
One is indirect, one is direct.
Okay.
You have to talk directly and tell him to do it, but you say, like, if you want to, you can do it.
Okay. That's like a hint? Yeah?
If I don't do the action that you... Is it?
Okay. They don't do that. Okay, I don't know. Oh, how about, let's phrase it one way better. One says it's an iser to talk on Shabbos about a malacha. One says it's an iser when he does the malacha on your behalf.
When he does it himself.
Okay.
So if you ask him to do something for someone else.
Okay. But he's still doing it for you. Okay, meaning but you're still the one doing the malacha.
So
meaning that he's acting as your agent. So what I'm trying to get at is, the iser is to talk about doing it on Shabbos.
Oh, what happens if you ask him on Friday?
Good. A nafkamina would be, let's say I ask him on Erev Shabbos, listen, on Shabbos, tomorrow I want you to go do X, Y, or Z. That would violate Rashi in Source 3, which says don't talk about, it wouldn't violate that, because it says don't talk about malach on Shabbos. It's not Shabbos, it's Friday. I'm allowed to talk about malach all I want. But it does violate the Rashi in Source 4, which says a person is doing malacha for you. It's as though you did it. That means you are doing malacha on Shabbos. Okay? Vice versa would also be true. Meaning, let's say I ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for me Motzei Shabbos. He does malacha for me Motzei Shabbos, it's like I did the malacha. Is that a problem? No, I'm allowed to do malacha Motzei Shabbos. But by asking him on Shabbos, what did I do? I talked about a malacha on Shabbos. And that violates the Rashi in Source 3. So those would be the nafkamina. We're going to see in Source 6 that we paskin both of these reasons as true. In other words, if even one of them is a problem, we can't do it. There is, just as a sort of side point, the Rambam offers a third reason why we can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Asur lamar l'goy la'asol lanu malacha b'Shabbat, afa pi she'enu mitzuva ala Shabbat, even though he's not commanded to keep Shabbos, afa pi she'amar lo mikol b'Shabbos, even though I told him before Shabbos, afa pi she'enu tzarich lo tom malacha l'achar Shabbat, even if when I don't need it until after Shabbos, davar ze asur midibri sofrim, kidei shelo tei Shabbat kala b'enehen, yavo la'asot b'atzman. If we create an atmosphere which people think Shabbos is light, they might come to do it themselves. Oh, it's just the whole game. I can tell him and he does it and you're going to end up doing it yourself if that's how you treat Shabbos. That is an issue sometimes to think about, but we are going to be focusing on the two reasons supplied by Rashi. One, we don't mention malacha on Shabbos. Two, we don't want malacha done on our behalf on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch in Source 6 tells us, "Aser v'davar davar shelo yehi diburcha shel Shabbat kediburcha shel Chol." We don't talk on Shabbos the way we do during the week. That means we don't talk about malacha, for example. Sif Bet. Also, the score Poelim, Belolo Marlin, Yodin, the score of Poelim Shabbat. We don't hire workers for on Shabbos. We don't ask a non-Jew to hire workers for us on Shabbos. Avo Pishani, Yisrael, Sarach, Lo Tamalach, Alach, Shabbat, even though I don't need whatever they're going to do with Tomotzi Shabbos. Shekol Ma, Sha'asar, La Soto, Asula Marlin, Eno Yodin, La Soto. Anything I can't do, I can't ask a non-Jew to do for me. Vafilu Lo Marlo, Kodim, Shabbat, La Soto, Shabbat. Even to tell him, before Shabbos, to do it on Shabbos, Aser. Aval mutter lomar lo achara Shabbat, what might you be allowed to do? Is the site, lama lo asita davar ploni b'Shabbat Shabbat, afo bishim evin mitoch tvarav, shiratzono shiaseh b'Shabbat Abba. What am I allowed to do? I can tell him on Motzi Shabbos, hey, how come on Shabbos you didn't do X? So that the next week, he knows I want him to do X. Then the Rama in Sif Chav Bet tells us the following: Kol davar she'asur lomar le'inu yodi lasoto b'Shabbat, asur lirmoz lo lasoto. I can't even hint to it. Avam mutter lirmoz lo lasot melacha achar Shabbat, but I can hint for him to do it after Shabbos. Why would that be true? Because when we're saying when we're hinting, I'm not really talking about it. But at the end of the day, he's doing it for me and it's Shabbos. But when I hint to him on Shabbos, and he's doing it Motzei Shabbos, I have solved both of the reasons. One, I'm not mentioning Malacha on Shabbos. Two, there's no one doing any Malacha for me on Shabbos. He's doing it after Shabbos. Yes?
I don't understand why you want someone to not open your mouth. That's the whole purpose that they're employing on Shabbos. They can't do it yourself after Shabbos.
What?
Couldn't you open the room yourself after Shabbos? I understand the benefit why you want it after Shabbos.
Not everything is because you can't do it. Like, what if you want him to come drive you somewhere? What if you want him to come? There are a lot of times I ask people to do things for me. Like,
yeah.
It's not because I couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. I mean,
yeah,
sometimes people help me. So I'm asking the non-Jew to, hey, my fellow non-Jew, can you please drive me to, I don't know, the ball game Motzi Shabbos? So if I ask him that on Shabbos, it's a problem because I mentioned driving. But if I say, hey, non-Jew, Saturday night, there's a game, I have no way of getting there, and he's like, great, I solved that.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
What's the difference between giving that hint on what happens for the Shabbos that's coming in comparison to doing it on a pair of Shabbos for the Shabbos? What's the...
Okay. So, first of all, when I'm telling him it's not Shabbos, so I'm allowed to discuss Malacha.
Yeah.
And then it's a hint, so it's not clear that he's acting on my behalf. It's a little more of a complicated discussion.
Could you give that same hint Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, that's considered Motzei Shabbos, the previous one, too.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Yes. Fine. In Source 7, the Mishnah Berurah limits the hinting. Yes.
Isn't it still a problem that you speak about something that's it's a weekday thing and you're doing it for after Shabbos? That leniency that you're allowed to turn into do something after Shabbos for you.
So I'm not mentioning a weekday thing. There might be a problem of achana, you're planning for Motzei Shabbos. But there are times where we might be leaning on that too, it's a different discussion. But I didn't mention anything I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos.
Or you just hinted.
I hinted. I want to get to there. And I didn't say drive me.
Okay.
So in other words, there's a share Motzei Shabbos. You know your friend goes with a car. He's Jewish, let's say. Forget non-Jew. He's Jewish. Say, Reuven, are you planning on going to hear, you know, Rav Kanievsky Motzei Shabbos? And he goes, yes. And you go, great, can I go with you? So you are violating the planning for Motzei Shabbos. But nowhere there did I mention a malacha. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so think about that the same now with an object. Yes?
If you were going to ask someone to drive you, could you say, could you take me? Would that...
Yeah, you carry on his shoulders.
Yes. Yeah, so that takes away the issue of talking about...
Talking about malacha, yeah.
Even though it's obviously implied that you don't think about
yes.
Malacha, and he could carry you. So
yes. But, okay, except the thing is that we're supposed to be hinting. So you're saying we're only mutter lir mozlo. So taking is already, like, you could say to him, I wish someone would be able to take me there. And then, so the take is, I'm not mentioning malacha. I didn't ask him to do anything, so I haven't done it. I only hinted to it. Okay? So now the Mishnah Berura, that's what we're saying so far, but the Mishnah Berura is about to limit the hinting even more. Yeah?
You said the hint is beyond not mentioning malacha. That even if you don't have to mention malacha, you can't say directly.
I can't ask you to do something.
Yeah, it's
okay? Mishnah Berura, us are the most. Why can I hint? I also can't tell him anything that'll make him realize. Hey, I think you got something on your nose. And that's my hint to him, and he knows whenever I tell him to wipe his nose, that I'm telling him to make the light go on. Can't even arrange something like that. Like, I have a neighbor who's a guy who likes me, so I make a deal with him. When I say, hey, the grass is greener on Tuesdays, and he goes, oh, and he goes and turns on the light. Okay, that's also something I can't do. Ah, kisha omer hare niza, ena yudi shalo belashon tziboy. Kegon sheomer, haner eno meir yafeh. The light in here isn't very good. Oh, eno yachol ekrol haner. I can't read with this light. Sheyesh bo bacham v'shomer yirundi metakno shari ein zev chalamira. Because you did not tell him to do anything. This is only so far about the amir l'nachri part. We're still going to get to the part about him doing malacha for you, but this is about the speaking to him part. Okay.
So for those two cases of the Haner and Omeyah, you're saying you're not allowed to do it. So what's the Sakya? What's the Mishnah Berurah saying?
So the Mishnah Berurah's stock is those are good ways of hinting something. In other words, you say something general and he understands what you're talking about, but in no time did you tell him to do anything. In that regard, we have solved the Amira part. In a minute, I'm going to tell you how to solve the him doing malacha for you part. But in other words, if I say, boy, is it dark in here, and the Nachri comes and turns on the light, I didn't tell him to turn on the light. Okay? It's a problem if he turns on the light for me. But we can solve that because we can make it somehow that he turned on the light for himself. You know, giving him something to read or whatever. Okay? And he wants the light, and then he did it for himself. But at least, focusing, that's why I split it up into two. This is on the Amir of the Nachri part. These are the rules of telling a Najee to do something on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to tell him. You're not even allowed to hint at him that he should go do something. But if you just say something and he understands from that to go do something, that is fine. Okay. That's one topic. Now, the second topic. What about benefiting from the malacha of a non-Jew? Are you allowed to benefit from the malacha of a non-Jew? So here we have a Gemara, a source A, Gemara, and Shabbos. Nachri shehid liket aner. A non-Jew lights a candle. Mishtamesh la'ora Yisrael. You can benefit from it. The imbishvil Yisrael usher. But if he lit the candle for you, it's a problem. Mili mayim lashko bemto. He somehow got water for his animal and to give water to his animal. So his animal drinks and he walks away and now there's some water left. You are allowed to have your animal drink from it. Mashgach Rav Yisrael. Vim b'shvil Yisrael aser. But if he fills up the trough for you, it's a problem. Asen nachri hevesh l'rebo. Yoridach Rav Yisrael. If you're on a ship, you are not allowed to put down the plank that allows you to walk off the ship onto land. So if the non-Jew does it, and he does it for you, the Jew, that's a problem. But if he does it for himself, he puts down the plank, walks off it, that means he did it for himself. Then you're allowed to do it after. Mishvil Yisrael Aser. Maser Rabban Gamliel Zakenim Shayu Bindusvi. Now one time Rabban Gamliel and Zakenim were on this boat ride. And then it was Shabbos. And the boat docked. You can't get off the boat because you can't put down this ramp. Asam Nachri Kevishle Rebo. He put down this ramp. He gets off the boat. He did it for himself. Yardu, Bo, Rabban Gamliel, Zakenim, they're allowed to be what's called tofesh tremp. They can, you know, follow him off the boat. Once he does it for himself, you're allowed to do it. So when it comes to benefiting from the malacha a Nachri does, if he does it for you, you can't get benefit from it. If he does it for himself, you can. So that's what I was trying to say. The Mishnah Berurah is saying you can just hint, oh, it's dark in here, and he turns on the light. But that's only if he's turning on the light for himself. Not if he's turning on the light for you. He turns it on for you, that doesn't help. Rav Schreiber once was describing, he had this maid, housekeeper somewhere, and there was like, she was taking care of this kid, and they kept saying things to her like, oh, you know, maybe it's too dark for you, whatever you're doing with the baby there. And she's going, no, I'm fine. Why, do you want me to turn on the light for you? And they're like, no. And they just kept this conversation like every 10 minutes, like as it got darker and darker outside. Like, you sure it's not too dark for you? She's like, no, I'm fine. Why, do you want me to turn on the light for you? And they're like, no. Because they can't have her turn on the light for them. But she can turn on the light for herself. There's no rule against her turning on lights for herself. And if she turns it on for herself, they can benefit. So they were trying to hint, oh, it's dark here. Are you sure it's not too dark for you? So that she would turn on the light for herself. But each time she's like, do you want me to turn on the light for you? For that, the option always has to be no. Yes?
Can you then say, I can't ask you to turn the light on?
Okay. And then?
And then they'll understand.
But they're still doing it for you. You only solve the Amira thing. You have to make them doing it for them. Okay, that's what we're going to have to solve for the hotel room too. We're going to get there. How we make it for them.
I can't ask you to do it for me. Can you do it for you?
Like, don't you want the light for yourself? Like, you can convince them the same light.
Like make it more explicit why you want it to be.
So you can create a circumstance like, hey, come read this thing I have in my hand. She's like, oh, I can't see. It's too dark. 1 minute. Let me go turn on the light. She turns on the light. She reads whatever comic strip you're holding in your hand. And then the light is on now. Great. You only solve that. And what if she goes, when she's done, she shuts off the light. You didn't solve it. Yes?
I just don't understand. When you give that indirect hints and they do it for themselves, I'm sure they would have done it for themselves if they wanted to. Surely they're still doing it for you because you're a
No, I'm not. How many times do you ever have a good idea? I've been in rooms on a Tuesday and like looking for something. My wife comes into the room and she goes, why are you doing this in the dark? And she turns on the light. I'm like, oh wow, that's so much easier. Thank you. Okay, not every time does a person, you know, turn on the light when they need the light on. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But, maybe you're on the Madrigo that you've done everything you've ever done in your life the best way possible. Some of us, you know, fots around and therefore, you know, end up doing things, and there are better ways to do it. Okay. Yes?
Can you tell someone to withhold from doing the lechah aspirin for you, but they're walking out of the room and telling them not to?
Yes.
Explicitly?
Yes.
Cool. So say, cool. Don't turn the light on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell them not to do malacha. That's all.
Yeah.
Don't! Leave it! Maybe, again, you're talking about malacha, but you're like, leave it, leave the light alone. And you know, then you're not mentioning anything. Okay? Yes?
So I can see the answer already. Can you hint if it's not for you? So your guess, you want the ball?
No, that's still for a Jew.
Still for you.
Okay? But no, by the way, we're going to see for a minute, like a chola, whatever, these things are different. But we're talking about normal, healthy people, no. Okay? Fine. There are a few heterim, one we just mentioned. Im yesh, source 9, Shulchan Aruch. Im yesh ner b'Yisrael. There is a light on in the room. Uba in yudi v'lik ner acher. And a nadru comes and turns on another light. Mutar lishtamesh le'oro ba'od ner rishon dolek. Avala acher shikaba rishon asu lishtamesh l'arsheni. You can continue, you're in a room, there is one light on. A nadru comes and turns on another light. So you can continue using the light in your room. There was light in the room. You can continue reading there. You don't have to stop. But what if your light goes out? Now the only light in the room is the one the non-Jew lit for you. Then you can continue using it.
Can you move under the second light, where you're still getting some benefit from the first one.
Yes.
Okay.
The head there is because your first light is still extant. But where that one is now has gone out, like the magic candles. So you had one candle going, it died, but in the meantime the other one is still lit. And he lit it for you, it's a problem. If he lit it for himself, then it's not a problem, right? Because we just said, if he lights it for himself, you can always get it. We're saying where he lit it for you, even though he lit it for you, since you could have done it just fine, that's allowed as well. Another heter. Source 10, the Mishnah Berurah, discusses getting hanah from something where you don't get hanah from the guf of it. What does it mean? We'll give an example in a second. Ma'ir b'davrish in guf ha'yisol ne'enem, where you don't get direct benefit. Kigon she'kfar yesh ner ve'esh, ve'in yodim mosif dim lo kein, ha'filim in yodim yodigo me'atzmo, asal yisol le'anot me'atzmo. If you don't get direct benefit, it's allowed. What would that be? For example, if he shuts the light, we don't consider getting benefit from the dark. Even, oh, I can't fall asleep with the light on in this room. When the non-Jew makes it dark, we don't consider that direct benefit. It's a little more lenient than asking him to make it light when he makes it dark for you. Another example we would give with that is like, let's say he opened an envelope. So you are now allowed to read the contents because that's not direct benefit. Meaning, you couldn't get to it without it, but it's not, he didn't write the contents for you. That would be direct benefit. If he writes something and you read it, now you've directly benefited from his thing. Here he tore it open and you could read what's inside, that's considered indirect benefit. So we've seen a few iterator. One, where it's for the benefit of the non-Jew. Two, where he's only adding light. Three, where it's indirect benefit, like it being dark, where it's indirect, like opening the envelope. Okay. Now, we have source 11. Source 11 and source 12 are two heterim in the Gemara asking a non-Jew to do malacha. What we're going to discuss now, and what the Rishonim and the Poskim discuss, is whether those two heterim are the rule or the exception. Here are the two heterim. First one comes from a Gemara in Gittin. This is source 11, Gittin Daf Ferman Bet. Hakona Sada Vesuria. A person buys a field in Syria. Okay, and Syria is like, consider, we're talking about buying a field technically, Eretz Yisrael. Okay? In other words, this land is currently owned by non-Jews, and now you're going to make this land owned by Jews. Kekonim from Yerushalayim, Lamai Hilchata. What does it mean that it's like buying one in Jerusalem? Amar of Sheshe Bomar, Shekotvin Alav Ono Bafil Shabbat. You can write the contract for this purchase even on Shabbos. The Gemara says, what? A Shabbos cycle? I thought you can write on Shabbos? Unbelievable. No. What does it mean that it's like buying in Jerusalem? That it's a special heter because of building up Eretz Yisrael. We want Eretz Yisrael to be built and owned by Jews. We want more and more land and Jewish ownership. Therefore, since telling a non-Jew to do malacha is an iser d'rabbanan, Chazal didn't make that iser d'rabbanan apply to purchasing land in Eretz Yisrael. So since you're doing the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, the shvut of telling the non-Jew to write doesn't apply. And even, so if you're trying to buy land in Eretz Yisrael, you can tell a non-Jew on Shabbos, please write up the contract for me. Okay? That's one source. Source 11, that was the Gemara in Gittin. We also have a Gemara in Erevin. This one is about a bris. A bris that takes place on Shabbos. Ahu yanuka dishtape chamime. There was warm water. Sometimes, especially that was considered the best medicine or what they knew back then, but bris, the baby needs some warm water. Maybe it's some kind of medicinal purpose. So it's very important that at the time of a bris, they had warm water. Ishtabi chamimi, the warm water that they had set aside for this bris, spilled. Amalu Rabba, what did Rabba say? Naitu le chamini mi gobeite. Go bring warm water from my house. So the Mefarshim explained, what are we talking about? We're talking about where his house was in the same courtyard, but they didn't make what's called an Erev Chatzerot. So it's an Isser Derabbanan to carry there. He's saying, violate the Isser Derabbanan. It's okay, because you're doing this for the warm water for a baby who's having his bris today. So we have two cases. One, the Gemara says, for the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, you are allowed to have an Anjur write a star. And for the mitzvah of Milah, for the sake of a baby, you are allowed to bring the water through an Erev Chatzerot, violation of Nisa Derabbanan. And herein lies the question. We have two examples now, where for a tzorech, a need, like a mitzvah, baby, that's a sick person, let's say, but for a mitzvah, we have a special dispensation to allow malacha to be done on Shabbos. Are these the rule, or are these the exception? Well, let us start with source 13. The Iter, Sefer Iter says, Hu hadin kol mili de mitzvah avdinan ayidei eno yehudi de mishum de lo yedchum mitzvah. We want as many mitzvahs to be done as possible, so for any mitzvah, you are allowed to have a non-Jew do malacha. That is the view of the Iter. You can tell a non-Jew, hey, we want to do this mitzvah, please go do this malacha for us in order to be able to do this mitzvah. That is the extreme view. Many take him to task on that. Yes?
Is Onek Shabbos considered a mitzvah?
Good. That's where we're going to get to for the hotel room. Okay? 14, the Rambam. This is, we'll call it the middle stance. Halacha 10. Dabar she'enu malacha ve'en asu lasot b'shabbat al mishum shvut. Mokil Yisrael omar the goel asot b'shabbat. Mushi yisham mitza choli o yet sarek l'dabar tzorek harbe omit ne mitzvah. If something is only an iser derabbanan, you can tell a non-Jew to do it where there's a tzorek, where there's a need. Like a mitzvah, or somebody slightly sick, or there's a great need. So what do we need according to the Rambam? We need it to be only an Isser Derabbanan, not like the Iter who says any Isser, only an Isser Derabbanan, that's one Shvut. Tell a non-Jew to do it, that's a second Shvut. What we call Shvut to Shvut, b'makom mitzvah. Telling a non-Jew to do an Isser Derabbanan for the purpose of a mitzvah. If we paskin like this Rambam, we can conceivably come up with cases where we can come up with a mitzvah, like you said, like Onik Shabbos, tell a non-Jew to violate Nisa Derabbanan, and that could be a solution for us. Halacha Yud, the Rambam explains, Ketzar, Omer Yisrael, Legoyel, Mishvut, La'alot Be'ilan, L'shut Upanei Amayim, Kedei La'avilo Shofar. We don't climb trees on Shabbos and Yontif, but I can tell a non-Jew to climb it if for some reason my shofar is stuck up in a tree. Oh, Sakin Lamila. Oh, maybe lo mechatzer lechatzer again. Shein erev b'nehen. If there's no erev chatzeros, it's nisus drabanan. Mayim chamin arachit v'yam katan mitzar v'chein koyotzei b'zem. Similarly, halokef bay beretz Yisrael min agoy mutar lo lomar legoy lechtov lo shar b'shabbat shamir legoy b'shabbat asur min divrayim u'mishum yishu beretz Yisrael lo gazur davavav. Since you're buying a house in Eretz Yisrael, you can tell the non-Jew to write the star for you on Shabbos. But again, the Gemara listed two examples, and the Rambam says these are the rule, not the exception. The Iter says they're the rule, even though the examples in the Gemara were seemingly about an Isser Derabbanan. He says, well, actually, writing is an Isser Deraita, and you're telling Anjou to do an Isser Deraita for you. So the Iter says, you can tell an Anjou to do an Isser Deraita for a mitzvah. The Rambam says, whoa, 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 whoa. No, you can't tell a non-Jew to do an Isser Derabbanan for you for a mitzvah. And Eretz Yisrael is a special circumstance which allows you to tell him even Isser Derabbanan. Then we have the third view. Tosafot, Tosafot Gittin, source 15 tells us, That was the line of our Gemara at the end of source 11. Says Tosot, "Avam bishom mitzvah acheret lo ayinu matirin amir lo bikocham melacha doraita." We don't allow any melacha doraita, telling a non-Jew to do it on Shabbos for any other mitzvah. Only for Eretz Yisrael. Only for writing up a contract for you to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. And had Amar Hatam Liol Beidach Yenuka Dishtav Chamime about the hot water that got spilled. Umoki La Yideo Kachavim Bada Yisur De Rabbanan Shari Bechatzah Shlo Irvu Mishom Mitzah Milo. We don't let him boil you new water. We only let him bring you some water through a courtyard without an Eruv. We only let him violate an Isur De Rabbanan for you, not an Isur De Raita. And it's dafka mishum mila dehikufa dach yeshavas, specifically mila. So what is Tosfot saying? We have two cases in the Gemara where we allow you to ask a non-Jew to do something. Those are the only two cases where we allow you to do that. How do we pass you? Source 16. Shulchan Aruch. Davar she'enu melacha. It's not a melacha. Enu asa lasadu mishavu mishum shvut. It's an iser derabbana. You can tell a non-Jew to do it for you. Under what circumstances? Someone slightly sick. Again, they keep saying slightly sick, because if somebody's really sick, it's mikuach nefesh, of course you can do it. We're talking, even you can do it. But if it's mikzat choli, you can have them do it. Oh yeah, tzarech ledavar tzarech harbe, o mipnei mitzvah, for a mitzvah. Ketzad, omer li Yisrael, yilainu yodi b'shabbat, la'avod b'ilal, la'vi shofar, l'tkoa tkiya mitzvah, So the Shulchan Aruch says, those are the examples, just like the Rambam says. And then says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Osrin. Some forbid it, except in those two cases, that would be the view of Tosfot. Says the Rambam, well, the Kaman in Tavkot Beivav, Pasak Lahatir, but look back at Reish Ayinvav, Yesh Mekilin Afilum Lacha Doraita. So who does the Rambam cite? Whom does the Ramah cite as being Mako? He cites the Iter in Source 13, he says, as a Yesh Mekilin. So do we possibly like this Iter? Not really, but we can also use him as what we call a Snif Lahakel. Remember, I mentioned that last time, that sometimes when we have a lenient view, even if we don't possibly like him outright, we'll incorporate his view as an extra way to be lenient. But this area, this idea of Tzorech Mitzvah, allowing you to tell a non-Jew to do something, comes up all the time. And there are many, false notions on this. I'll give you an example. You come, you come to shul on Shabbos afternoon, or it's time for mincha, and it's dark in the shul. So the rabbi goes over to the custodian and says, "Hey, it's dark in the shul, can you please turn on the light?" Is that allowed or not? So he does it. Yes. Why is it allowed? Because it's Tzorech Rabim. It's Tzorech Mitzvah. It's for everybody in the shul to see their sitter, to see the Torah, to go daven mincha. So that's allowed. What kind of iser is it? So unless the lights are incandescent, we consider, most consider lights to be either rabbanan probably. Okay? But we have Tzorech Rabim, Tzorech Mitzvah, if he hints to him even better, what happens? People see this and say, look, the rabbi asked the non-Jew to do malacha in public. I can ask him to do malacha for me in private in my home. Okay, what false assumption did he make? That it has to do with whether it's in public or it's in private, rather than having to do with it being for the tzivur. Okay? It's very important that people realize that. In your home, when you need a non-Jew to do malacha, you can't have him do malacha for you. You can't ask him to do malacha for you. You have to make it that he's doing malacha for himself, possibly. We're going to discuss in a minute how that happens. Says the Shaar HaTzion in Source 17, Afilu man d'shari shvut d'shvut b'makom hefseh, where we sometimes allow you to say, tell a non-Jew to do an Isra Malacha, Hainu kishe'en lo eitz acher. That's only where that's the last option, where it happened. Abba bazeh halo yachol etakin adavar me'er v'shabak, kemosh kach v'shulchan arach, So therefore we don't just rely on that to have that happen. Before Shabbos we plan ahead, we bring the hot water for the bris, we bring the knife for the bris, etc. So now, before we get to the last source, let us stop and discuss the issues that come up in a hotel room. Okay, best solution. Number one, metal key, regular key. The hotel has one of those for you, you gotta go that way. Option number two, it's not so practical. Leave your room open while you're out of the room. So lock up all your stuff in a safe, all your valuables, leave the room open. You don't have to leave it wide open, but you know, leave it that it's the door is slightly ajar. Again, that's not going to always be so practical, depending on what kind of town, place you're in, how dangerous it is, how likely you want your stuff back, etc. Another option, leaving someone in the room is always an option. Not everybody has to go to shul necessarily. Wherever you're going, take turns, take shifts. Okay? Then we avoid all those problems, right? Okay. Let us think about it without all those solutions. What kind of iser are we discussing? The light, the electricity in a key card is usually what kind of light? An LED. So most would consider that an iser derabanan. Okay, so now we have an iser derabanan. So now when I tell the non-Jew who walks by, hey, can you open the door for me? So I'm asking him to open the door. I'm asking him to do for me an iser derabanan. So that's what we call a shvut d'shvut. What are the circumstances we allow a shvut d'shvut? We said it was a tzorech holy or tzorech mitzvah. Public Shabbos is Erev Shabbos, but what? Onik Shabbos. Okay. How is it a mitzvah Onik Shabbos for you to get into your room? Because you want to sleep. Shabbos Menucha. Your food is there. You want to eat. That's a mitzvah. Your Sfarim are there. You want to go learn. That's a mitzvah. So therefore, that would be Shvut to Shvut B'makom Mitzvah. Let me give you an amazing way to be lenient, but it may not even be necessary. One of the ways to be lenient is, we said that you're allowed to benefit for any malacha non-Jew does if he does it for himself. How can you make it the non-Jew is doing it for himself?
Cleaning the room.
Don't you want to come clean my room?
Give him a... give him something afterwards. There's an apple there for you.
Go up to the guy and say, hey, you seem like a really nice guy. I have a chocolate bar for you in my room. I would really like to give you that chocolate bar. Unfortunately, I can't get into my room because I don't use these keys. And it's my holiday. And he's like, no problem. Swipes the thing. Where's my chocolate bar? You give it to him. Sorry. He opened the room for himself. Okay? Solved it. That works so much. That's like a really great solution.
Do you have to give him the chocolate bar afterwards?
You do have to give him the chocolate bar.
What is this out of my chocolate?
You really? So then you have to come up with something. You have to find someone who likes chocolate.
What is this out of my chocolate?
Just invite him for lunch.
Just invite him for lunch. Give him the chocolate. Koyam love Kishka.
He pulls what the man did and said, out of my chocolate bar, you're so alive. You have to say no.
You have to say no that he's doing it for you. Okay? It has to be good enough that he wants to do it. I was once talking about this sugya with Rav Schreiber, who really felt the shvut b'makom mitzvah was enough. But again, if you have the chocolate bar, it makes it better. I was once talking to Rav Mordechai Friedman about it, and he said, think about it this way. When you ask the hotel, do you have a regular key? And they say no. Because if they have one, then that's what you get. But if you say, they say no, there's no regular key available. They're just saying there's no regular key available. He says, imagine if there's a power outage and then an emergency, you have to get into your room. I guarantee, he says, any reputable hotel that you're going to, somewhere in the world, any Hilton, you know, even not fancy one, any Motel 6, Best Western, whatever it is, they have a way to get into the Holiday Inn. They have a way to get into the room in an emergency. They've got it. He says, otherwise they're liable to be sued and they're violating all sorts of codes. So he says, when they decide, no, I'm not going to... So they have a way to get into the room that doesn't involve electricity. When you go to them and say, hey, I need to get in my room, they're choosing. I could use my top secret non-electric way to get into the room. Or I could be using the electric way to get in the room. When he's doing the electric way, they're just doing it because that's easier for them. So he says, again, that's not enough, but that's combined with all of this. Again, what kind of malacha? Most probably is a derabbanan. Asking a non-Jew itself is a derabbanan. Shvut to shvut. You make up a makom mitzvah. You have to get into your room for your own Shabbos. Shvut to shvut makom mitzvah. That's enough. Knowing that he's choosing to do electricity rather than that secret way, throw that in. Even better, if you can give him food and he's doing it for himself, great. Now let's do the last source because it's mind-blowing. Yes?
What about like mitzvah carrying a pot? Is that
there are those who are mother carrying the card, but who also question carrying the card. I think carrying the, meaning the Erev might still be an issue outside, but I'm saying carrying the card inside where that's allowed. Carrying the card is important because sometimes that's like your idea that you belong in the hotel, they won't kick you out. There's like also
I'm giving him the card to swipe. Is that
maybe you need your card to swipe, but usually they have their own master key. Listen to source 18, Malacha Momanayach, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. He cites something from his father-in-law, who was a man named Rav Yosef Shalom Bel Yashiv. Heard of him? Rav Bel Yashiv? Okay. Beit Malon, Shenichnasim L'chadarav, Rak Be'emtzut, Kartis Magneti. You can only go in with one of these key cards. Keitzah Iganes Yudi L'chadro B'Shabbat, Sherei Kniso Kulcha O'Malacha D'Oraita. He's even calling it a malacha d'oraita. Again, I told you that it's most probably a malacha d'rabbanan. There is the shita of the Chazon Ish that a lot of things of electricity are d'oraita. If he's going to be matir, he's matir it even though he thinks it's d'oraita. All the more so, I'm telling you, according to all the other shita, that it's not an issa d'oraita, but an issa d'rabbanan. Correct? You with me on that? Okay, good. Tshuva. Here's the advice. Leave something sweet in your room. Go up to one of the non-Jewish hotel workers. I want to give you the treat in my room. I can't get in. When he's opening for himself, and of course you can benefit too. It has to be good treats. If he goes in and you give him a little chocolate chip, you cheated him. Throw in Shitat Bala Iter. Remember, source 13. The Iter was matir even in Isidore Raita for a mitzvah. The Mir Lenachri Mutar Litzorach Sudu Shabbat or Litzorach Mitzvah. Your food is in your room. You can tell the Nachri to open it for you. But I have to disagree. You can just stay in your room. So why? Who allowed you to put yourself in a circumstances where you now need the Nachri to do malacha for you on Shabbat? You could have stayed in your room. Sarach Ion in the Tzorach Tfilah Mitzivur Mutter. Then I have to discuss whether there's room to discuss whether for minyan that's allowed. Okay, but listen to this great solution from my father-in-law, Mori Chotni Agon Rav Yosef Shalom Al Yashiv Shlita Shemati Derech Nosefet. Yodi Yomar Lebala Malon and Achrim Er Shabbat. Tell the non-Jewish owner Er Shabbat Kishesocher Achedah when you rent the room. Ani Muchan Lishalem Rak Avor Cheder Kazesh Yuchalish Lameishu. I am only willing to pay for a room I can use. Kartis magneti lo uchal lishtamesh, and I can't use one of these cards. V'lachein tidag lekach. Please make sure she'acheder yeh patuach b'shaot ilu ve'ilu. At 12 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, whatever it is, I'm going to have to get in my room. Please make sure that happens. As anachri letzorech atzmo seth. Then the non-Jew is doing it for himself. In other words, the owner of the hotel wants you to stay there. He wants your money. He is going to make sure you can get into your room. He is going to have his worker open the door of the room. Now, you might think that he's opening the door to your room for you. No. He's opening the door to the room because that's his job. And he's doing it for the non-Jewish owner of the hotel who's telling him to do that. Because the non-Jewish owner of the hotel wants your money. So he's doing it for himself or for a non-Jew. And therefore, you can have him open the room for you on Shabbos. Okay, that's Rabbi Yosha's head there. That works, by the way, on a lot of these Pesach programs and where they set you up. If they don't arrange keys, which they should do anyway, if you go to a hotel and say, we're going to stock your hotel for 8 days and pay you lots of money, they should be willing to put in manual keys for you. But even if not, they say, no, but we'll have people stationed on each floor or whatever to open your rooms for you. So when they do that, they are stationing a person there to open their rooms for you, for them, because they want you to be able to stay there. That's what Rabbi Yashiv is saying. Rabbi Yashiv is saying, when that guy, who they make it part of his job description to open rooms for people, that is really for a non-Jew. That is not for Jews. That is for himself. That's his job. That's his parnasa. That's his living. And therefore, you can ask, you can have that non-Jew open the door for you, and you can then benefit by getting into your room. So therefore, I highly recommend spending Shabbos at home with your family. I highly recommend spending Shabbos in yeshiva. But if it does happen that you are somewhere in the world for Shabbos where there's a hotel room with an electronic key, we've discussed the solution. You can shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah, especially if you can add in that he's doing it for himself. Doing it for himself, either because that's his job, or because you're going to give him a really delicious chocolate bar. Any questions?
A couple of weeks ago, my mom stayed at an industrial hotel, and they didn't let customers on the stairs. In order to get onto the lift and to get to your room, you need to use your card. So then it came Shabbos.
That's way more complicated, because elevators is a whole discussion. Elevators is a whole discussion, because there's some view that the elevator uses more electricity or power based on how many people go in it, so already using elevators is a complicated thing. So in other words, even if the non-Jew comes with you, you follow him in the elevator and just go to his floor or something, that would violate it. So it's really, it's more complicated than this year is dealing with. My wife once told me she stayed at a hotel where before Shabbos she went up the stairs, and each floor as she got to the floor the lights turned on. So she went and told them they really wanted her business, so they unscrewed all the light bulbs for Shabbos. So the stairs were dark. She had to walk up in the dark, but at least that Shabbos when she got to each floor the lights didn't turn on for her. So, depending on the size of the hotel and how many rules they have in place and how friendly they are and good customer service, they might be able to solve these things for you. If you complain to management, maybe they would have opened the stairs. I don't know. But again, that's a different topic than ours about the key card. But the question could be, can I have them insert the key card for the elevator? That is related to our discussion today. Anyone else? Yes?
Yeah, about that. If they the key card for you, like you get in a visible way, that they're going to benefit from it as well.
Yeah.
The actual action they're going to be doing, such as by going into an elevator, is something problematic.
So we think, right, so right here in Yeshiva we have what's called the Machon Somed elevator. And on Shabbos they have a Shabbos mode. So some people think the Shabbos mode is just that you don't have to push the buttons. Right? It just goes to every floor automatically. So Machon Somed does more than that in this elevator here. They do that it uses a set amount of electricity as it goes between the floor. So even though it's empty, it's using the same amount of electricity as if there's five people in the elevator. Okay, that's not, so even if you've solved the issue of pushing the floor and it goes automatically to all the floors, there's the second issue about using the elevator specifically. That being said, my whole discussion about that, about using more electricity, is all for healthy people. If you're dealing with old people, sick people, little babies, we're a little more lenient on that. Healthy people, we don't allow that more electricity.
And also just some for when it came up on Shabbat, where we couldn't get out of the hotel without going through electric doors. There were no other places to go out.
Okay, so you could follow someone up, though.
You could follow someone up.
Yeah. Because the electric door is open for that guy.
Did you make him stay up open longer?
The second he goes out, he shut behind him, almost closing on his tuchus. Like, no, he did less, an extra 3 seconds, so run out after him. Hey, how you doing? Yes?
Is there a concern that you're going to tarnish relationships with employees if you're being very demanding of hotels and
stuff? Like a full wash
of course there's such a concern. It'd be really nice if you were a chocolate boy.
No, when you go to
I'm going to complain to my employees.
So he says that...
So don't be rude that I'm going to pay you.
You say it really nicely. Say, listen, I have this issue, I'm Jewish, I can't use electricity on Shabbos, I really want to stay in your hotel, it's a lovely, fine establishment, maybe you can help me out and make it that I can get into my room. I'll try to only go into my room once tonight, and once tomorrow, can you help me out?
Yeah, but then is that still his benefit? Is that still...